You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It is a party here in L.A., Alan. What a night last night. The Lakers with a runaway win against Miami in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. The Dodgers looking fantastic as well. A great pitching performance, a home run from Corey Seager. Just looking as good as you could possibly hope right here. And ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests on the show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You tell me how you felt last night. As I was watching these games, especially the Laker game, by the time it got to halftime, I was ready to start planning the party. I was ready to start figuring out exactly how we're going to do a virtual parade, who gets invited to my real parade inside my living room. I'm trying to figure out exactly how these things are going to happen after two quarters of basketball.
I was all business. I tucked my shirt in. I started all my cliches. Three games left to go. We got to stay focused. By the way, this is kind of funny. All Laker fans that were calling into the post-game show yesterday, I felt a lot of this. You know, a lot of them are saying the same thing that we're saying right now, that how does Miami find a way to win four of the next six games against the Los Angeles Lakers?
It's a good question.
And if tomorrow the Lakers go up 2-0, I think that's when we're really going to start having that feeling that, okay, we're just a couple days away from hoisting up championship number 17. But Trav, there is this, I think there's this mentality from the Lakers, and I'm sure Laker fans feel the same way as well. Let's just keep getting that one game done at a time, that by the time, potentially by this, by the time the weekend is over, by the time we get to Sunday, you might be up 3-0, and Dodgers obviously having moved on as well.
I've said this a bunch during Keyshawn's show, that having LeBron is the ultimate answer to any of your basketball questions. And there's another one that you just put out there right now, this idea of, okay, let's stay focused. LeBron is not going to let them become satisfied. LeBron is not going to have his teammates
be content
sitting around goofing up. There was a story out there this morning about how the Lakers started to throw a little bit of a party on the bench last night. LeBron's like, stop. We're not doing any of that stuff yet. That's another facet to his incredible leadership that he brings to this. And that's why it's okay for Alan Sliwa and Travis Rogers to have a party, because we don't have to deal with LeBron. Those guys do. LeBron's not going to let them take their foot off the gas.
I also don't want to take anything away from guys like Rondo. You know, certainly a vet, Jared Dudley. You know, one thing Pelinka did, and we got a chance to talk to him last week. Mm-hmm. One thing they did when they constructed this roster, Trav, it's one thing to say, let's bring in the best talent. But it's a whole nother thing to say, let's bring in veterans who have been there, who have done it, who have won championships. Danny Green, a lot of times when I talk about Danny Green, I spend a lot of time talking about how Danny Green's got to hit a couple more threes and so forth. But it's guys like Danny Green, Jared Dudley, Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, LeBron James, all these players that have either won championships, been to the finals, have a ton of experience. I think that's a combination that you need.
KCP hit a bunch of big shots last night, too. He kept them going. They make 12 of their first 18 threes along the way? Just an incredible start for them.
AD said KCP saved us. I don't think I ever thought I'd be, you know, hearing that combination, but he did have a nice stretch there when Lakers were down 13.
That's how you know things are going your way. All right, let's try some phone calls here. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Yeah, right. Like, I'm not going to take the Santa Barbara call first. Victor in Santa Barbara, what's going on?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Vic. Thank
what's
you for
up?
Calling.
Travis and Alan, you guys are great. Just wanted to let you know that.
I agree.
Add a couple points. Today's a great day. Lakers, Dodgers win. My wife drank a bottle of wine last night. Yeah, it was a great night. Great night.
Okay, good for you.
My first point was this feels a series feels a lot like when they played the New Jersey Nets back in the day. I battled on eBay for a ticket, got there by halftime. I was doing circles around Staples Center trying to buy everything that they had. The next point was is that how's Giannis going to feel if his brother has a ring before him? Thank you.
That's messed up, Vic. That's funny, but that's a little messed up. No, look, I mean, Giannis is in a weird spot because Giannis is obviously very comfortable in Milwaukee. He likes it there.
Yeah.
That team doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. And I thought that the runway was supposed to be cleared in the Eastern Conference now that LeBron left. Remember that whole ridiculous concept of, well, you know, part of the reason that LeBron goes to the finals every year is because the East sucks and everybody knows that all the good teams are out West. Well, huh, what happened? LeBron left the East and it's an absolute mess over there where the fifth seed showed up in the NBA Finals.
Right. That's right.
And LeBron James is in the rigorous, brutal, unbelievably deep Western Conference. Well, look who's back.
Yeah, he's doing it again. You know, the Giannis part, that's an interesting conversation because, Trav, at the end of the day, whatever happens in the Eastern Conference, whatever happens with a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, if he stays there, if he doesn't, Lakers got a little window here. I mean, let's be realistic. I don't think I'm going too far to say finish this thing up in the next week. Lakers are probably favorites coming into next season as well. The pressure comes off LBJ, Anthony Davis, and there's going to be some good teams in the Western Conference. I don't think it's far-fetched to say that the final 2 years from LeBron James, it's not far-fetched to say that he can grab another championship before his career ends. That's where the Lakers are right now. So whatever the Bucks look like, Giannis and some of these other teams, I think you're going to have to go through the Lakers.
It sounds crazy to say it, but I'm not convinced that the final 2 years of LeBron James are the final anything. I mean, does it look like he's anywhere near the end of the line? I mean, it's just, we were talking about it earlier.
He missed a free throw yesterday. I want to point that out.
Think about this. There have been other guys that have played in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
Not many, but there have been guys that have played 15, 18, 20 years. How many of those guys were still the very best player by the time they were in their 17th season? The answer is zero of them until this dude.
He's better than AD.
Yes.
I mean, and it's not even a conversation.
And Kevin Durant.
But
and
I'm saying, like, all of them. At this stage, 19 years or 17 years in, whatever you want to say, count all those playoff games, he is still better than all these guys. Injured, need a win. You need the Wallace firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case. If you're injured, get the W. Call 844-844-WINS or visit WallaceWINS.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or visit WallaceWINS.com. Who else we got out there, Trav?
Let's go to John in L.A. this time. John, you are on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Bonjour, guys.
Yo.
Go ahead, buddy. Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, John.
Lakers in four.
You got Lakers in four? All right, so not wasting any time. Trav, does my pick. Thank you for calling in, John. Trav, does my
pick. That was artfully done, Alan, I got to tell you.
does my pick just look awful now, six games?
But we had the same one, by the way. Look, because here's why. The finals are very rarely lopsided. Mm-hmm. They're very rarely lopsided.
I do like the comp of comparing it back to the New Jersey days. Who was it? Philadelphia as well. Lakers went 4-1 against them back in the Kobe Shaq days.
After Philly got the opener, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That was the Allen Iverson Ty stepping Lue. Over Ty Lue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look. The Lakers are better, and it's not close.
Mm-hmm.
This is put it to this way. When the Lakers were playing the Nuggets, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are better than Jamal Murray and the Joker. They are.
Of course.
But it wasn't there's no shot here. When you saw Jamal Murray get going like that, it's like, uh-oh. When you saw Jokic doing what he does, making threes, running the offense from the high post, you're thinking, you know what? The Lakers better be ready to go. They better have their full attention here because Jamal Murray can go for 50 like that.
And there were some tough grind-out yes. games. AD had to hit a buzzer beater for the Lakers to go up 2-0.
100%. James Harden, who I'm not a fan of, he's awesome. Okay, James Harden can go for 50 in a second
sure.
and beat you by himself.
Mm-hmm.
That was scary. We know Damian Lillard, enough said right there. They don't have a dude like that. Miami does not have a guy like that. That's why this one feels so much. Even though it's the last round and theoretically the most difficult round, this is the first time that the Lakers are playing an opponent where there's not a guy that makes your blood run cold.
I thought, man, this is so weird. I thought Miami was the toughest of who they'd faced so far in the postseason. I thought Portland... between Portland, Houston, and Denver, I thought Miami would add this element that the Lakers really haven't seen, at least through one game. Definitely doesn't look like that's going to be a consistent guess on my part.
No, well, I mean, I don't know if anybody was really on the sweep out of the beginning because it just doesn't happen in the finals. I mean, even when to the point about the New Jersey team, Jersey team wasn't great, but you figure somebody's going to get one.
Sure.
You figure somebody's going to show up and have that big game. And look, I still think, if you said to me right now this morning, 10 after the hour, how do you think this goes? I still think I'd take five. Because I think that at some point the Lakers are going to have a night where they don't make a bunch of shots. Maybe somebody gets in foul trouble. Maybe Jimmy Butler or Tyler Hero finds it and does the 35-point thing. That's one. That's one. They're not getting more than one. I'd still say five. Are you 100% on the sweep side now?
No. I'm not. Finish off tomorrow. If they can jump 2-0 on Miami, I think you now start looking at a team that has starts getting in their own head. How the hell are we going to beat this team 4 out of 5 times?
Let's do another phone call here. Hollywood this time. And Tom, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
Guys, how you doing? I just wanted to say that I'll take my cake and whoosh, Lakers in 4.
All right, so you got Lakers in 4. I think everybody's falling on this, Travis. I think everybody, appreciate you calling in. Everybody now is in the Lakers in 4 bandwagon. Go get tomorrow, and I think that becomes that much more realistic.
Yeah, if Miami is going to get one, it feels like it would be game 2.
3?
Game 2? Game 2 feels like, although the injuries make it totally out
if
there.
If they get
well.
Game 2 and now you're tied 1-1, you might have a little bit of a series.
What does a 4th championship mean for LeBron James legacy-wise? That is coming up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next. Pretty good night last night, Alan. A couple of big wins. The Lakers go first, and they did us all a favor by making that a 30-point game in the second half. We can kind of bounce over to the Dodgers a little bit, make sure we caught the early innings of that one as well.
I'm sitting here in studio listening to Ireland and MT. To my left, I had the TV going. I mean, that's not a bad night right there.
It's not
a bad night.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial is proud to partner with small business experts at SCORE. Find a mentor today at score.org. All right, let's check in on Twitter. This is from Roger, Jason, and Josh. I don't know why three guys are sharing a Twitter handle, but they are. And they want to know, can we talk about how the experts downplayed the Lakers' defense this year only for them to shut team after team down? I think that's a great point. LeBron is going to get all the attention because he's LeBron. We know that AD is an incredibly versatile and gifted offensive player, but the Lakers...
Three blocks last night for AD.
They are where they are because they've brought it. Even the games they've lost, it's been because they didn't shoot well. It's not because they gave up a ton of points.
Well, I like to... When Alex Caruso comes into a game, you're not expecting Caruso to give you 15 points, but I'll tell you what you can expect from Caruso. He's going to be in the other, you know, in the opposing team's grill, chest to chest the entire time.
Yeah.
KCP, there isn't ever a possession that you feel like KCP is going to back down. Danny Green, who might be one of the slower backcourt players for the Lakers, is as crafty as any player out there when it comes, you know, from his defensive rotations. You got guys that come in, Dwight Howard throwing that list on that list as well. Markieff Morris is a guy that likes to bang. You got guys on this team. Let's just say they're not afraid of contact. They're not afraid of, you know, certainly stepping up on the defensive side. You know, Trav, this isn't probably talked about enough. The Lakers can adjust to anything that you throw at them. The Houston Rockets have one way to win. The Portland Trailblazers have one way to win.
That's a great point.
The Miami Heat, they are what they are. The Lakers, you can change whatever you want on the Lakers. The Lakers will have some type of answer for it.
Dodgers do the same thing in the baseball world. Mm-hmm. They're an incredibly versatile team. Don't forget that you too can hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. You can send them to Alan. You can send them to me, both of them under our names. All right, so the question is, LeBron James is going for his 4th NBA championship. This is his 10th try to get number 4. It feels very, very likely that it's going to happen after seeing what we saw last night. Here's my thing. I don't know how much it changes LeBron James's legacy. I think it changes LeBron James' legacy with Laker fans.
Sure.
I think it makes them feel differently about LeBron because LeBron will have brought the Lakers their first championship in 10 years. He will have brought them their 17th championship overall to tie the Celtics. So the Laker fans may embrace LeBron a little bit more than they have, especially those people that have been holding out on it. Mm-hmm. The whole, you got to give me a championship or you're never a Laker to begin with. It's ridiculous, but they're out there. I don't know how much it changes LeBron's legacy globally when you're already one of the greatest players of all time. And if you don't think that he's one of those things, you're wrong. Let me just tell you that. You're wrong. He is on the short list of greatest ever. The only other two names that are even reasonable comparisons are Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's it. Anybody else, you're wrong. So what does winning another one do? Get him higher on the top of the poll anyway? He's already there.
I think it does have a. I think it does have an impact, and I'll tell you why, Trav. I mean, listen. Maybe coming into this season, the conversation was going to be a little bit different, but here you are. Everything is in front of you to grab a championship number four. Everything is in front of you to be a Finals MVP. I know he's lost already six NBA Finals. Some of them, you know, you can point the finger at him, and then some of them you could say there was absolutely nothing LeBron James could have done. But with all that being said, Trav, you can't lose this year. You just can't. Like, look at what's in front of you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to play Milwaukee. You didn't have to play the Los Angeles Clippers. You're incredibly heavy favorites to win an NBA championship. Anthony Davis, we talk about being another top five player in the NBA. Listen, he's going to be an all-time great, and he's only going to be in that conversation that you just said, no matter what happened this year. But damn, does that conversation just taste so much better when you could say LeBron did it again in his 17th season, did it still as the leader of the NBA and the team, and at the same time got the championship for the Lakers.
I want to go back to the phones in just 1 second, but this is one of the things I don't get about LeBron, and that is, why are there always qualifiers on what he's done? Why is it, well, they didn't have to play Milwaukee, they didn't have to play the Clippers, oh, it's in the bubble. Last year, Kawhi Leonard won his third championship, and he won his second MVP. And we didn't talk about the fact that the Warriors were dropping like flies, that Kevin Durant tore his Achilles, that Klay Thompson tore his ACL in that game. We don't qualify Kawhi's championship like that. We only do this to LeBron James, and it doesn't make any sense to me. Every time somebody else wins, we go, you know what? Good for that guy. He won a championship. Check the box. He gets another one. With LeBron, it's always a chorus of, yeah, but.
But this is why. Because we are here, as in, this is it. Everything else, that path has cleared up for LeBron James. Whether LeBron had to beat the Clippers to get to the NBA Finals or not, or whether he had to beat the Bucks in the Finals, whether or not, it's still an NBA championship. I don't care about that part. What I'm saying is, you're three games away from a chip, you're playing Miami, you're heavily favored. You can't crumble at this point. I don't think it's going to happen, by the way. I
agree. If they lose, that's a different conversation.
But that's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
The point I'm making is, if you lost this championship under these circumstances, this specific situation that you're in, a lot of people would remember that.
Yeah, though, if they lose, it's different than trying to climb higher up the mountain with that fourth championship. Let's go to Lakewood this time. And Joe, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
All right.
I heard you guys talking about how the ones that, like, going through Lillard, what's his name?
Harden.
And then Jokic and
Jamal Murray. Yep.
I told my son at the beginning, I said, what the Lakers have to go through, the three teams, each step that they have to go through, they'll be ready and equipped for the finals. And that's what happened, because it'll make them tougher. And I told him that LeBron and Anthony Davis are holding back, and when they get to the finals, they're going to go off. They're going to be another step higher than what they played throughout the playoffs.
Well, hey, go ahead. You got another point? Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, to the Lakers, to the Clippers organization, you guys don't put the pictures over our banners anymore. You're not qualified. You're not qualified for that.
I love how you found a way to weave the Clippers into that conversation. I appreciate you calling in. He does make a great point on using those first three rounds that the Lakers had to get them ready, right? Like, this is a position that they're in now against Miami where there are no surprises. You want elite guards? Okay, Lakers got a chance to play them in every round. You want good low post players that, you know, certainly have, we talk about Jokic and how incredible he is. Okay, Lakers got some of that. Good role players. Lakers got tested enough in those first three rounds that I feel like by the time they got to Miami, yeah, we've seen everything. We know what to expect. Let's go.
There's not a guy that keeps you up at night on that team. As good as Jimmy Butler is, he's not one of those guys. He's just not. And now you talk about the injuries that they've had to Dragic and Adebayo. We know Jimmy Butler had an injury. He played some more, but we'll see. Let's be honest.
What effect does it have? So you're right, because they could play, but maybe they're not. What if Jimmy Butler's not 100% and Bam Adebayo isn't? How the hell do you win that?
Fact is, last night's game could have been the close one. I mean, like, if those guys don't play or they're less than their best selves, last night could have been the close one. Let's try. Ooh, I like this. Austin and Daniel. Daniel, you are on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Really big-time Laker fan over here in Austin. Been following the Lakers since the 80s, and really happy that I'm able to listen to your station and get all this Laker information.
Right on.
Earlier, y'all were talking about the MVP, LeBron, AD, which way it could go.
Yep.
If AD continues to put up the numbers he's putting, and if it's obvious that he, like, had a monster series, and I would hate for it to go to LeBron, because, yeah, of course, I would like LeBron to get it, you know, top off his career, but if AD is deserving of it, I would hate for it to be taken away from him just to give it to LeBron.
By the way, I don't disagree with that at all. Listen, if AD earns it, and we appreciate you calling in from Austin, Daniel.
No problem. Have a great show.
You too. Or thank you, man. Trav, but just to kind of stick with this.
Yeah.
I do selfishly would love to see LeBron win it because what we talked about. He has been the most valuable player this season for the Los Angeles Lakers, and in my opinion, he was the most valuable player in the NBA. If Anthony Davis runs away... if he runs away with this in this finals and is averaging 35 points and he's got 10 or 12 rebounds and a couple block shots and he should win the MVP, I'm all good for it. I mean, no complaints here. I mean, do I want it to be LeBron? I do. But if Anthony Davis earns a damn thing, let him get his first finals MVP.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, I don't care who gets it. If you're asking me who I think should get it, I think it should be LeBron because of all the things you just said. And when I look at these things, I focus on the V. Right? The V, the value. Value does not mean most stats. Value does not mean most points or rebounds or blocks or anything like that. Who brings the most value? And I said it when he hit that game-winning shot, Anthony Davis did against Denver. A big part of the reason, and this has taken nothing away from Anthony Davis who made the shot, but a big part of the reason he made that shot is everybody in that Denver huddle, on that Denver coaching staff, and the Denver entire city limits was, where's LeBron James? Where is he?
Paying attention
Make
to LeBron.
Make sure that LeBron doesn't get us. That's what we need to do.
Last question. Should Plumlee get a ring if for not switching over and guarding Anthony Davis?
Look, whatever it takes, absolutely. Hey, hiring, it's a challenge, especially with everything else you have to consider today. But there's one place where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Dodgers were great last night. The Dodgers starting pitching was great last night. They even got a home run last night. But the back end of that bullpen, how sold are you? That's next on a Lakers Reaction Thursday on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Our pitching staff tonight was really good. Walker threw great, you know, he makes one bad pitch and that game's completely different if he doesn't, you know. Julio came in right after him and same thing, you know, attacked people, got in the zone. got outs, soft contact, and then training and Kenley coming in and shutting the door. You know, that's a huge effort from our pitching staff, and that's what you need going forward.
I want to talk about an embarrassment of riches for a second, because we've got the best player in the NBA in LeBron James and arguably the second best player in the NBA in Anthony Davis. Put that aside for a second.
Yep.
That was Corey Seager right there talking about the Dodger pitching staff. Corey Seager would be the best player on 20 Major League Baseball teams. He would be the best player on the team.
Just happens to be playing with Mookie Betts.
And Cody Bellinger.
Sure.
And a whole bunch, and Clayton Kershaw, sure, and a whole bunch of other guys that are just unbelievably gifted baseball players. He would be, and I beat LZ and Key over the head with this over and over and over and over again. I think that Corey Seager is the most important. He's not the best player on the team. I think he's the most important player on the team. And this year, he looks like himself all over again. You look at the numbers. Fernando Tatis Jr. is probably going to be the National League Most Valuable Player. Mm. It might be Manny Machado. It might be Mookie Betts. You look at their numbers and their impact, Corey Seager's are just as good as those three guys. And it's, and quite honestly, Seager's are better in some cases.
Well, I think, and this is what it's all going to come down to. At the end of the day, what's the only thing that matters to the Los Angeles Dodgers?
Just like the Lakers.
There's so many similarities, actually, between these two franchises. Because, use the Padres as an example, we could be a few hours away from the Padres being out. Right, and that's just the predicament,
thanks,
the situation.
Thanks, three-game series.
Thanks, three-game series, and two of your aces right, going down. But I just use that as an example, because what you're saying about Corey Seager, let's say I'm using a similar example. My comp, let's say, is Anthony Davis, right? LeBron James is the best player, most valuable player in the NBA. But at the end of the day, if you can walk away from this season with a World Series, all of those individual stats are not going to matter. So if it does go to Tatis, or goes to Machado, or goes to Mookie Betts, whatever the case is, I'm sure many Dodger fans know the value and appreciate what Corey Seager is doing.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and you saw another layer of their unbelievable gifts that they have, and it had nothing to do with the offense, but rather the pitching. Keep in mind, like we said, you got Seager, who could be the best player on a whole bunch of teams across the league. Julio Urias would be the best pitcher on a bunch of teams in Major League Baseball. He can't crack the damn rotation for this team. He can't get into the starting rotation in the playoffs. He got a bunch of starts during the regular season. He's not better than Dustin May. He's not better than Walker Buehler. He's not better than Clayton Kershaw. Maybe Tony Gonsolin, but Gonsolin's been far more consistent than he has been this season. So on a night where you're a little bit worried about blisters, he gives up a home run for Walker Buehler. You're certainly trying to manage that blister because you're looking forward to the next round.
Sure,
and I
sure
get it. That's a tough putt for Dave Roberts. That idea of, I got my guy, he's grooving.
It's game one of a three-game set.
It's game one of a three-game set, so I got to be careful here. But instead of going to Joe Blow down in the bullpen, I'll just bring in my other starter who's nearly as good. We'll just run him out there for three scoreless innings.
Do you think, so what concerns you about the Dodgers? I mean, if, and I know everybody has kind of said this, get through this first round and all of a sudden now it's a best of five, and then after that it's going to be best of seven. And obviously a larger sample size is much better off for the Dodgers than these, you know, these one-offs, or I guess you can say. What are your concerns with the Dodgers?
It's really simple for me, Alan. It's really, really simple. There are six outs you have to get at the end of the game, and they're really hard outs to get. Those last six outs in the eighth inning, and then turn it up even more for the last three outs in the ninth inning, it takes a special kind of guy to get those. We've seen it time and time again. And I know that the analytics guys will tell you that there are 27 outs, and they're all the same, and there's no difference between any of them. I just don't believe it. I don't believe that to be true.
So the first quarter with 6 minutes left to go, and the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left to go, that's the same?
Go ask Paul George if the first quarter feels the same as
the
fourth quarter.
He was bad in the first quarter, too.
Paul George at least didn't hit the side of the backboard in the first quarter.
Yeah.
He did
yeah
in the fourth quarter. Kenley Jansen is not scared. And I can't say it enough how important that is in every sport. The lack of fear, the lack of fear of failure in particular. Sometimes you're not going to pitch well. Sometimes you're going to miss a shot, but it doesn't screw you up for the next shot. LeBron James has missed shots at the end of the game. Do you think for 1 second that LeBron James is afraid of taking the next one? Of course not. Kenley Jansen is not afraid of taking that ball in the ninth inning. But I worry about the stuff. He throws 91 miles an hour right now. That is cupcake stuff for big league hitters. You saw Arcia take Buehler out last night, 97 at the knees, and he bit into the seats. 97. Okay, so all of a sudden, you
one
take
pitch made it a 3-2 game, right?
Right. You take 97 and you put it at 91 at the end of the game, where that home run goes from being, okay, we got another 2 hours to play. We got another four innings to play. It's not a big deal. We can get it back to, oh, the game just ended.
Mm-hmm.
That's my concern, because when Kenley is on and he's locating and the ball is moving, he's fine. If either of those two things are not going, if he can't locate and that ball's not moving quite the way he needs, it's a fist fight. We saw it in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. Remember when he faced six guys in the night. Didn't give up any runs, but it took him six guys to get off the field because the ball wasn't moving and he wasn't locating at his best. That's what scares me.
Is there a Washington Nationals team from last year that's in this postseason that you think, okay, you know what, we could go, we'll go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers, not expected to win, but they think in a five-game or a seven-game set, we'll take our chances.
It's a great question, and here's the God's honest truth. I don't know. We didn't see anybody.
That's right. That's true.
You know what I mean? That last year, you saw the Nationals. They'd come through. You'd see them, and now you've been in these pods where you've only played against
San Francisco and Houston.
That's it. You've played against the Western Division of both teams. You don't know. Until we saw the Brewers last night, I know that the Brewers did not have a good year, 29 and 31. I know that Christian Yelich is batting around 200. This is a guy that was an MVP candidate
several times.
I don't know why. I can't tell you, because I haven't seen him all that much. So I don't know. I know Atlanta's pretty good. I know I don't want to face Trevor Bauer, who we saw pitch for the Reds yesterday. That guy's terrifying with the stuff that he has. But the Dodgers, much like the Lakers, and here's another example of the things that we've talked about.
What a weird element.
They have an answer to all of your questions. You want to get into a slugfest, the Dodgers can do it. You want to match up pitching for hitters, they can do that. You want to play just guerrilla baseball and club the ball over the fence, they can do that. You want to play station to station, they can do that. They've got all the punches.
But, you know, Trav, when you put it that way, you haven't seen everybody, right? So you got nothing to work off of. You know, and even in a 60-game schedule, even the teams that you have faced, yes, you have some history with, but that's an interesting one to kind of see that play out. When you put it that way, you spent most of the time facing the Angels and the Mariners and the Texans, Astros. The Texas Rangers, yeah. and the Houston Astros. You spent most of your time facing teams that you wouldn't face unless you got to the World Series, and then there's all these other teams in the NL that you didn't even get an opportunity to see.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
We saw what happened last year with Clayton Kershaw in the eighth inning of that game. Mm-hmm. He gets out of the game in the seventh inning. They bring him back out there, which I didn't love at the time, but it's like, okay, all right, let's see what happens. Rendon gets him. At that point, I think everybody was
screaming, then it's 3-2, right?
Go get him. Before the place had even realized what happened, Juan Soto hit one into the parking lot practically, and that was the beginning of the end. Let's say Dodgers get through this round, Dodgers are getting into the deeper rounds of this thing,
yeah.
And all of a sudden, Clayton Kershaw has a little bit of a hiccup. Does Dave Roberts go get him now? Did he learn that can't happen again, or is it Clayton Kershaw and you let him ride his way through it?
So I think sometimes, you mentioned this to start the show, how we overthink things, right? Where, and I think this happens a lot, not just to us sitting here on radio. I think it happens a lot in sports. Trav, he hasn't delivered in those moments. So if you're in a position or a situation where the series is on the line, you named off how many players that you have confidence in that rotation, starting pitchers that can't even get into the rotation, I think you pull them. And I think it's okay. You know, I think it's one of those predicaments in those situations. If somebody's not delivering in the fourth quarter, now I'm not saying you're going to go take Anthony Davis out for the Los Angeles Lakers, but AD's been delivering. You don't have a track record of examples where in the fourth quarter that player folded or something along those lines. This is one example I'm going to give, and maybe it's not the best. Remember that series where the Clippers blew a 3-1 against the Houston Rockets?
Sure.
Do you remember who was sitting?
James Harden.
James Harden was sitting there.
Yep.
Sometimes we overcoach or we overmanage or whatever the case is. I just use that as an example because it doesn't have to be, well, that's my guy. Do what's in the best interest that you feel helps win the game.
Clayton Kershaw, behind Fernando Valenzuela, might be my favorite Dodger of all time. He is that great. He has been that good of a dude. He has had such incredible success. And I don't care if he's a part of winning a championship or not. And what I mean by that is exactly what you said. That if it means taking him out and bringing someone else in, do it. Because I just want him to get one. He doesn't have to be on the mound for that last out. He doesn't have to be the guy that gets
not personal.
Juan Soto out.
It's business.
Not personal, because if we take him out and here comes Gratterall, who throws 150 miles an hour, mm-hmm. here he comes, bam, 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 innings over. Guess whose champagne is getting soaked first? It's Kershaw.
Of course he is.
Kershaw is going to be the guy that everybody is going to be the most thrilled to win a championship for, and because he didn't get that out,
it's a great point.
One person will remember it.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the way you just said it right there, everyone will be so happy that they helped Clayton Kershaw get his World Series.
All right, guests on the show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Alan, when we come back, I'm going to give you the most amazing stat I've ever heard in the NBA Finals.
I'm ready.
That is coming up next on a Lakers Reaction Thursday, live and local on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
He taking notes from Morales there, Sliwa.
I stopped all my DMs. I stopped all my DMs.
Make sure that you're not DMing during the show. That is very, very good advice. All right, don't forget that tonight is Thursday Night Football. The 0-3 Broncos head to New York to take on the 0-3 Jets. Catch all the action at 5:20 tonight on the NFL Network, brought to you by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. And I do feel a little bad for Sam Darnold that he has to deal with all that. I thought he was going to be a really good NFL quarterback, and I guess he still can be, but what a disaster.
At least he's in a small market where they're not going to be very critical.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, poor Sam. I still think he can be good, but this is off to a very bad start. All right, here it is, Alan. Here's the number. When I heard it last night, I went, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And because we live in an era with DVRs, I literally ran it back because I must have heard that wrong. LeBron James last night played in his 50th
ridiculous
NBA Finals game last night. Anthony Davis had played 13 playoff games coming into this season. 13 playoff games. LeBron James has played after last night in 50 Finals game. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay. 255. Do you know what that is?
Total playoff games?
Total playoff games LeBron James has played. That's over three additional 82-game seasons.
It's crazy.
Over three additional 82-game seasons.
Are we counting the Olympics? Because
seasons.
I'm sure that's another 25 or 30 by the time we're all done, right?
I mean, it really is truly remarkable. That's why, Trav, I want him so bad to get this last, and when I say last championship, all I'm obviously referring to is if it is his last championship. I actually think Lakers have as good of a chance next season to come back and run it back. But if he can get this championship and just kind of put a bow to what he's already done, what he's already accomplished, like you said, this is his 10th NBA Finals, 50 games in. Get this final one. Only three games left to go.
This is why our MVP conversation, I think, is so interesting, because there is a very compelling argument that Anthony Davis should be the Finals MVP if this continues to go like
sure.
it looked in game
yeah.
one. Anthony Davis had never been out of the first round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Or, excuse me, out of the
second round of the playoffs. Had never won a game.
Only out of the first round one time. Mm-hmm. LeBron James was playing in his 50th Finals game last night. Just think about that for a second. All right, let's go back to our Dr. Pepper phone line as well. Marcus in Studio City. Marcus, you are on a Lakers Reaction Thursday with Travis and Sliwa. What's up?
How you guys doing?
Doing
right.
good, man. Doing good. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch in on what you said. By the way, that stat you just gave is unbelievable.
It's nuts.
This is LeBron James, and part of what I was talking about is that as a long, long time Laker fan, man. I'm 47. I've been a Laker fan since I was 10 years old. I'm so tired of the hating on LeBron, man. I mean, what does it take for this guy to get the credit? When he was in Cleveland, and he left Cleveland and went to Miami, it's because he joined those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He came back. Kyrie had already been with the Cleveland Cavaliers for 2 years. He couldn't even win 20 games. He goes there. Now he's in the finals for all those years in a row. Then they say he can't win on the East Coast, or he can win on the East Coast because it's so easy. Comes to the West Coast. Goes to these guys. If he wouldn't have gotten hurt last year, we know they probably would have gotten into the finals real close. Now he's in the finals, and they still hating on him. And I just don't get it, man. I don't understand why everything this dude does, it's always a reason why it happened. It ain't because he's great.
You bring up a great point, Marcus, and I appreciate the phone call. Look, the short answer to your question is, I don't know. I've been asking the same question for years. I've been asking it more often in the last year. The answer to your question is, why doesn't he get more credit, or why do people hate on LeBron James? I don't know. And I've literally asked people on Twitter, hey, explain to me why you feel this way about this guy, in particular Laker fans. And more often than not, it is a mixture of something that includes, well, he had to hop around a bunch during his career. He ring hunts. He does this. He doesn't have any loyalty. I like guys that were born and bred in L.A. So Kareem doesn't count. Kareem was a Milwaukee Buck before he became a Laker.
Sure.
Shaquille O'Neal doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq was a member of the Orlando Magic before he came to the Lakers. Pau Gasol doesn't count as a real Laker because he played in Memphis before he got here. It doesn't make any sense to me. There hasn't been one compelling argument as to why people have mixed feelings at best, and quite honestly don't like LeBron at worst, that makes any sort of logical sense.
In a weird way, Travis, it's actually a compliment towards LeBron. You know, when you get that much criticism, when you're always talked about, when people are trying to find your flaws, when people are making excuses for why you didn't do this or why you didn't do that or why you did it this way, it's actually a compliment. Tom Brady has talked about a lot of the times there's certain conversations about, well, you know what, it's because of Belichick, or oh, are you going to be able to do it in Tampa Bay? And I'm just using that as one example. Kobe would get a ton of criticism. Magic back in his days would get a lot of criticism. The greats, they are praised, but they also get a lot of criticism. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done in their careers, they're considered one of the greats, and I don't pay too much attention to it. But like you said earlier, it's Kareem, it's Michael Jordan, it's LeBron James. Those are the top three to ever do it. Give him as much criticism as he wants. He's still stacking up chips.
Yeah, he's been remarkable. Let's try one more very quickly here. Let's go to Long Beach and Patrick. Patrick, you're on a Lakers Reaction Thursday. What's up?
Hey, Travis, Alan. Travis, I did that Langer's Breakfast with you years ago. I'll be real quick, but I keep harping on this. Bogle, you know, stuck to resting LeBron when we were down 13 and stuck to his strategy, his guns, going up against a really good coach, adjusting the zone defense, moving our guys around, switching when the pick and roll is hurting us. And I think he's done it every game, every playoff. And yeah, he's got the best player in the world and arguably the second or third best player in the world. But a lot of great coaches get great players and don't get over the top. And it's I hope he does, because I think he's doing a great job.
Appreciate you calling in, Patrick. Yeah, I mean, listen, you could, Trav, you could just play off of that. Doc Rivers had great players. He didn't get it done. Every year there's teams with great players and don't get it done.
I don't want to take anything away from Frank Vogel, but you can't win without great players.
Mm-hmm.
A great coach will make great players play even greater, and I think that's what Frank Vogel has done. Hey, don't forget, wrestling fans, right now, call 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. If you are caller number 7, you will win a copy of WWE 2K Battlegrounds. WWE 2K Battlegrounds is out now. You can get it on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, Steam, and Stadia.
Michael, you can't call.
Yeah, Michael is ineligible.
MT is trying to call right now as we speak.
He'd want that and like reruns of Gilligan's Island box set. Michael has the most eclectic television tastes I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah, I get it every pregame. I get education every pregame.
I am well aware. Here's the good news, Alan. We got to do it today, Lakers Reaction Thursday. We're going to do it again after Sunday night's game. So 9 to 11 on Monday, we will be here breaking down whether that be game 3.
Yeah.
And it may be that we are getting one game away from a coronation.
That's going to be the expectations. That's where I think Laker fans are right now. That's where a lot of experts are too.
Yeah, it certainly felt like it. That was a runaway last night. And with the injuries to Miami, that might have been the closest one of them all. He's Sliwa. I'm Travis. Max Kellerman coming up with his show next. We will see you on Monday.